the structure. The structure. These three things. Now, these three are present in the book of Acts, but they are under different names. You notice in the book of Acts 15, that when they were having a problem in the Jerusalem church regarding the Gentile question, they settled the question and the issue with three major points. Number one, they have what they settle it with what I call the Word of God. They settle it with the Word of God, and through the doctrinal area, they settle the issue of the Gentile question. Mainly, it was the Word of God, and of course, they have the testimony, word of testimony, and the witness of the Holy Spirit. All these work together. But you notice in the book of Acts, there are three major problems that comes up. And only three possible in any church under the sun. Both today and from the time of the book of Acts. Number one, it could be a doctrinal problem. Churches have split over doctrine. Charismatic doctrine, Pentecostal doctrine, healing doctrine, water baptism doctrine, leadership doctrine, all kind of new doctrine. Churches have split over doctrine. So doctrinal issues can split a church. If you do not have a sound doctrinal basis and progress with the understanding in doctrines that come and are unfolded in our days, it may split the church. The church must have a stand on doctrines. Acts 15 is an example of doctrinal problems that has to be solved. If it was not solved, that problem will devastate the Gentiles. The second problem you see in the book of Acts is structural problem. That is found in Acts chapter 6. When the church grew, the old wineskin cannot contain the new wine. A structure that is good enough for 400 people is not good enough for 1,000. A structure that is good enough for 1,000 is not good enough for 10,000. So we need to learn regarding these areas of structure. An organization. The structure has to do with the organization. Like, for example, the past few weeks or so, some of the students in our Bible school helped to organize with the Sunday school department a huge dinner fellowship to do with the Sunday school renovation. So we had 500 diners. And they have a system for welcoming the people, etc. And there was a big jam at the door because the system they use was suitable for a previous dinner that they had about 100 odd people. But when the number is increased another 5 times, that system could not work. So any organization, any system has to change and adapt to growth. And the disciples have to wrestle with the structural problem in Acts 6. The third type of problem that can come out in any church is in Acts 15, the last few verses, the quarrel between Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and the Apostle Paul, personality conflict. Personality conflict. So these three were stifled and killed, if I can use that word, a move and a revival of God. You notice sometimes you can have a great revival coming. And the charismatic revival was moving on its steam in 1960s. But after some time, a doctrinal issue came. And several doctrinal issues, in fact. People had to find out whether it's right or wrong about the faith message. Doctrine of submission and authority. All these things started challenging. And a lot of charismatic leaders don't know how to take stands. They either don't want to take stands, or they will wait until a stand becomes popular to take it. As a result, after some time of not taking a stand, when God began to show that truth is real, after some time of not taking a stand, they find out, hey, there's no more revival, the revival is now dead. And they're no more in the revival. You see what happened? Doctrinal issues will keep coming up. And what we understand today, as we grow in God, we may have to keep examining the Word for new revelations from the Word, from the Lord in the Bible. I'm not talking about new revelations that are against the Word. They must be in the Bible all the time. Like a scribe bringing out new things and old. They are old, but to us it looks new because it's never been taught. Healing is as old as the Lord Jesus Christ brought it 2,000 years ago, or even from Moses' time. But it's new, the message of healing is new to the church in the 20th century. Because the church has neglected that truth. Even born again truth was so new that when Martin Luther brought it forth, it was a heresy at first. So doctrinal issues are important. Many revivals are broken up because of doctrinal issues. And the other issue is important, the structural issue. Sometimes a church grow. You begin to see a church multiply, explode. Ooh, exploding, wonderful, souls coming in. After some time, you begin to find structural problem. And because their structure couldn't contain, they want to do the same thing, the same old way. Don't want to change. Structure bursting, still don't want. And the sampan has broken to bits and pieces, still don't want. Holding on for life, holding on to the ark. The only difference is that their ark is not the ark of covenant. It was a piece of Noah's ark. That's gone out of disuse. So the old structure, I want to hold on. Hold it there. God said there will be no more flood. So what's Noah's ark for? God already said no more flood. That is just a monument now. So it's not good. It was good at one point. We're not saying structures are not good. It was good at one point. But it needs to be fluid. Which was what the apostles found out. And the third one, usually these three can be mixed up sometimes and we cannot see clearly which is which. But the third is personality. Sometimes the church is growing, exploding. Other sometimes, personality conflict. The strong point of Barnabas, the strong point of Paul clash. Why? Paul is a man who champions principles. Since Mark did not follow us and didn't keep his word, I'm not taking him, he says. And Barnabas is a champion of the rejected. After all, he championed Paul before. He's a very personable person. His name was Son of Consolation. So that was his strong point. The strong points clash. Bang! Like the clash of two deers with their antlers. Until, you know how when the deers clash with their antlers, they will rub until the antlers fall off. So the antlers of both of them really fell off. They both had to go separate ways. And so we see here that personality conflict. Sometimes it's a structural problem and people hide it as personality conflict. Sometimes it's a doctrinal issue and people hide it as a personality conflict. But we have to look at the matter as it is. 10 or 20 years ago, many churches were having problems with charismatics because it was so new. And always they hide behind personality issue. They say, oh, it's just that person, it's always that way. It was not that person, it's a question of doctrine. Do you believe in the baptism in the Spirit with tongues as a sign? Or you believe in the baptism in the Spirit as just one of the things that do happen once in a while? It was a doctrinal issue, not personality. Although people's personality do come in when you talk about doctrine and structure. But there are some times when it's pure personality. And it's these three that will completely wipe out a move of God if you're not careful. You're watching over. Now these three are in some semblance in Nehemiah's life. Number one, in what I call the doctrinal area. The doctrinal area, or what I call the vision or the what he received from God. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, he secretly went about to look at the place. Why do you think he went to look around the place? Nehemiah has to see for himself how to handle the situation. How can he organize something unless he knows it himself firsthand? So by night, he didn't even tell anybody. He surveyed himself and went around. And he had this vision to build that place. And so at night, he took the trouble, survey, and look around. And that is his vision. He held on to his vision. Then the second, which goes together with the third, is the organization of the people in Nehemiah chapter 3. You notice that he organized them into about 42 groups. And each group was simultaneously working. And the organization and the persons are together. Sometimes you have a good organization, but you got the wrong people, it becomes bad. Sometimes you have a bad organization, but you have a good person inside and they struggle. But the best is to have a good person and a good organization. Which in chapter 3, you see Nehemiah merged the two. He merged the other 2 points. The people and the organization. He merged it together into a coherent group which succeeded in working as a team. Again, teamwork comes into the picture. And you notice that among all these things that they have, everyone is to do certain things. Some, you notice in chapter 3, that even the goldsmiths are involved in verse 8. Everybody has something to do. And then in verse 3, some of them have seen Nai build a fish gate. Who wants to build a fish gate? It has a fishy smell. Right? But everyone has their own work. And some of them didn't have a very nice place in verse 13. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoah repaired a valley gate. They built it, hung its doors with its bolts and bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as a refuse gate. The Bible says dung gate. Why is that next to the jamban? Who wants to work there? But 42 teams, everybody has to have a place to work. For theirs, they work near the toilet area, the main sewage system. So it was hard work for the 42 teams. But each one find their place. They were well organized. Without organization and proper structure, a revival loses its momentum. We all know what momentum is. A momentum is a force that continues after it's applied to an object. And then the object, because of its mass, begins to move. And continue moving. It's just like in your car, if you suddenly, let go of the accelerator, the car will still move. Momentum. Now that momentum can be wasted or can be used. Can be wasted or can be used. Cyclists always, use momentum. Right? And to save on their work, etc. And so momentum is an important area to maintain the momentum. It can be wasted, dissipated. Good organization preserves the momentum and the flow. And good organization places the right people in the right place, which to Nehemiah's credit, he did all those things in chapter 3. So remember, if you're a man of God called to a ministry, a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a teacher, or a prophet, you cannot run away from organization. You cannot want to live your life in a little cave, wear goat skin, come out once in a while and say, "Thus is the Lord," and then go back, And we all recognize you as an old man from the hill, man of God. And you think that will have an impact. But we realize that, all you do is once in a while shock people. When you go, they go through the shock therapy and then they forget what you say. There's no momentum. And because of that, you see the second tactic is very, very sly of the devil. In the second tactic, Sanballat and Tobiah, they attack the persons and the people whom Nehemiah choose. And they attack the word. Remember, when you have colleagues, when you are employees under you, and you have somebody else attacking them, it's the same like attacking you. Understand that principle. Because many people don't know their own colleagues or workers well enough that they themselves allow division to split between them and their colleagues or their fellow workers. If you know them well enough, you don't need to hear from another party. You can see it yourself and hear it yourself. If you know them well enough, before anybody tells you about them and their work, you yourself will know about their work.